Hey everyone, before we get into this episode, just a heads up, it's a little bit different than the normal shows that I do. It's more of a discussion with Steve-O on how to get people to where they want to be going and how a great community can help that. So I hope you enjoy it. And then next week, we're going to have Max Shank on the show. I just recorded that episode. It is absolutely fantastic, as well as this one. So I hope you enjoy those and thank you so much for listening to the show. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 345. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to have back on the show Coach Steve-O. Steve-O, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
I thought it was going to be a little bit more like fired up than that. We had this whole back and forth on Facebook about how I wanted you to bring the ruckus. Because you're gonna have an extra hour to sleep in. You're gonna be able to get in some nice hot coffee, and then we were gonna bring it for 3:40 because it's 3:45. That's like kind of a big number.
That is a very big prime number. You're right. That's amazing.
It is, and the goal.
It actually is amazing. I was telling someone on Facebook the other day. I remember listening to this podcast like almost a decade ago when I was just getting into this stuff.
It's gross, right?
It is gross. You're a disgusting human for having been this consistent and high quality for so long.
Well, it was, just a quick anecdote, and we'll get into the content. But I was just in Chicago for the Perform Better Summit last week, and just thank you so, like, literally, almost like two dozen people came up to me and said, like, you know, how much they enjoy the FitCast and how they've been listening to it forever, and I constantly forget how much more people know about me just because they listen to the show, and I guess how personal I can get on the show. And even to the point where I had, I think it was three or four people literally said the show is why they got into the industry, because they were doing, you know, some other profession, or they were going into college and not sure what they wanted to do, and decided to go into the fitness industry because of the podcast. And that is just absolutely ridiculous to hear that. And I don't even know how to react when you hear stuff like that. I don't even know, I don't even know what to do. But it's really cool.
I know. It's bizarre. I've been blogging for almost as long, and people come up to me and like, I've been reading your blog for 8 years, and yeah. I don't even know what to do with that.
And so I almost feel like it's spying. It's like you're spying on my life. Come on, you got...
Because you forget. It's so easy to forget that people are actually consuming the content you're putting out.
Right, but thank you for everyone. If you're listening to this, that means you downloaded. You are either a subscriber on iTunes, and hopefully you're also a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/thefitcast, where just $1 per episode is a huge help, and you can even support more than that if you feel like this content is valuable. And Steve-O and I even did a 30-minute agenda-free segment that you're going to hear at the end of this show if you are one of those Patreon supporters. So thank you so much. And if you can't support the show, I completely understand. Maybe
you did miss out on an amazing conversation that Kevin and I had for the Patreon subscribers.
From Ghostbusters to the ways people are creating content for the fitness industry. Really cool stuff. But we're here to talk about other stuff right now. You're putting together, I think last time you were on the show, we were talking right before you had a huge summit, a huge event. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of great feedback from that last episode, people wanting to hear more about what you do, the content that you're creating, and the ways that it can help benefit the audience. So first off, how did that event go? How did that end up turning out?
It went so well that we ended up doing three more. The first Motivate Summit in Salt Lake City last year, we had 41 people show up. And the Motivate Summit is a very special thing that no one else is doing in the fitness industry. It's an unconference. It's a conference where the people who show up make the content for the conference. We structured it to be like the bar after Perform Better. That's what it's about. And it's all about the other 167 hours that we're not with our clients every week. How do we affect behavior change in that time? And we had 41 people show up for that one. Then we did another one in New York three months later. And then we just wrapped another one in Oakland 2 weeks ago. That was our biggest yet. And that ended up being a two-day unconference, the first two-day we've ever done. Mm-hmm. And we'll be doing another one in September, hopefully in Salt Lake again. But we might be doing a change of venue. We don't have official word on that yet. But you can check out motivatesum.it. That's the website, Motivate Summit, .it. And you can find all the information on that there. It's a fantastic event. And most of the people who come are actually repeat. Like 100% of people who've come to our events say they would come back again.
That's a pretty good number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it's the best possible number.
Yeah, it's literally. So, I mean, I apologize if people have heard me say this before, but I think we are like pretty close to figuring out exactly what we need to do in terms of programming and nutrition for people to live healthier lifestyles, to get the goal of being stronger if that is their goal, or for muscle hypertrophy if that is their goal, or to train for a specific event. We have a lot of those things covered, but I think the big letdown that we have for the fitness industry and even just the world's population in general, people know what they want. They just don't know how to kind of maintain that path, to stay on that path, to reach that destination that they want to get to. And that seems to be, your primary focus is, helping professionals like me help other people, and also just to, help the people like those that are tuning in, make sure that they aren't sabotaging themselves, or making sure that they're in the right mindset, I guess, to make sure that they get to where they want to be going.
Yeah, we describe it as we help the coaches who are experts in what become experts in how. Mm-hmm. Most people know what they want their clients to do. They just don't know how to get their clients to actually do it. And our whole focus at Habitree, and our whole focus in the Motivate Collective, which is our forum, which is now 337 awesome coaches in it, is a focus on how. How do we get people to actually do the things they know they need to do?
Well, let's, this might be a little bit of review from the last episode, but let's start at the let's start at the beginning, like in terms of developing habits and things like that. Mm-hmm. And making sure that people are, outlining habits that are obtainable, and I guess are that they're going to be capable of following.
Are you asking me to just do a run through of how to form a habit?
That'd be a good place to start. I like that.
Okay. the most important factor in forming a habit is frequency, but not just frequency of every kind. Frequency within a context. So a habit is a automatic behavior. A habit is a behavior that you don't have to think about doing. You just do it. The problem that I see most people making in the health and fitness industry is making the conditions not consistent enough, or relying solely on willpower to get those habits to happen. So when we talk about Habitree, about helping people create the conditions in which change is possible, most of what we're talking about is consistent social conditions, a community of change. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to create the conditions in which people can perform an action enough times that it becomes a habit, and creating the conditions in which they are actually motivating themselves to do it. The only way to do that is by creating a community around that person. There are other ways to do it, but they just rely so much on willpower. They rely so much on small changes that are one step forward, two steps back for most people. And by creating a community where the load of willpower is distributed among the members, where it's not just you that have to remember to pack your food that day, but there's 40 other people talking about the habit of packing their food every day, it just brings things up to the top of mind. And big things like health and fitness is more than just a bunch of small little things. They're really complicated behaviors. So something like going to the gym every day is complicated. You're never going to have a client who wakes up in the morning, puts on their gym clothes, drives to the gym, works out, drives home, looks down and says, "How did I get so sweaty?" It's never going to be that automatic. Mm-hmm. But what we can do is create the conditions in which people start finding ways to make it easier. They start making little habits that help them get there, that help them along the way. And the goal, our goal, is to set the conditions in which they're finding the ways to do that themselves, rather than relying on a coach or a pre-prescribed system of habits that it's probably not going to work for everyone. Not everyone needs to eat more slowly, for example, but everyone can benefit from a period of time when they're trying to eat more slowly and talking about it with a whole bunch of other people.
But, you know, I saw an Instagram post the other day where if, you know, I wanted, you know, those abs, I would, you know, that's all I need to do is really want those abs enough to not have that, you know, slice of cake. Is that not the case anymore?
I mean, I guess if you've only read The Secret, then that would be the case. But unfortunately, there's way more social science out there about how to actually change behavior. Wanting something, or what would just be called an intensity of motivation, mm-hmm. is one thing. But motivation is a very complicated phenomenon that lies on two axes. There's intensity and there's also the quality of motivation, mm-hmm. how internalized that motivation is. So better question would be, why do you want those abs so much? And it turns out that the answer to that question is as important, if not more important, than the intensity of how much you want the abs. So the quality of motivation, how internalized it is, how much it feels like it's a part of who you are, matters more. If it's just vanity, vanity doesn't last the second beer. After you've had one beer, you're not going to want those abs anymore. But improving the client's quality of motivation, finding the real reasons why they want stuff and helping them live in accordance with their own values turns out to be a much better long-term motivator than even intensity. Because it turns out that wanting things really, really intensely is usually a sign that the people are, that one is motivated by guilt. Mm-hmm. And guilt and shame are terrible motivators. They're really, really strong for about 2 weeks. And then they are really, really not strong because they feel controlling and we react against it. So wanting something really, really badly is not only not enough, it's usually a sign that something's out of whack. And there's a much better ways to get people in touch with those values.
Well, okay, maybe this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but I was recommended Anthony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within.
Yeah.
And, you know, going through that, and it's actually, if you want to check it out, like on Audible, it's literally like an hour and a half long. It's really short. Or maybe it's like 2 hours. But the big thing, I guess, that I got from that book is that when you're trying to make changes, just the reps that you get from trying to make a decision and trying to stick with it, even if you fail, then making mm-hmm. that decision again continues to make you stronger in terms of being able to stick with that goal or that decision that you are making. I was just curious what your thoughts were on that, because obviously you're definitely coming from the side of like the importance of a community versus, you know, just more of a self-help kind of thing.
Yeah. First thing I'll say about that is I'm always surprised at how much people like Tony Robbins and just most people in general already know intuitively about motivation.
Right.
They already know intuitively about behavior change. Most of the stuff that I learned in grad school was the sort of just a framework for understanding it better. Mm-hmm. And most people already kind of have the right idea about most of this stuff. And I completely agree with that Tony Robbins insight that you just mentioned. The other thing that but I will say that inherent in that is an assumption, a very important assumption, that you take the time to reflect on what it was that prevented you from getting to that goal. Mm-hmm. The self-awareness piece, I think, is the hidden key to that Tony Robbins idea. And one of the great things about working in a community is that self-awareness is a lot more likely when you have to, when you're in a community and you have to either explain something to them.
You have to communicate.
You have to communicate. Thank you. Yeah. You have to communicate it, which forces you to think about it in the first place, which is another great benefit of community.
Okay, so I'm going to jump on you again. Well, not jump on you. I'm going to jump in again. and you know, again, this is for myself. Like, I've talked about this like a million times on the show. Like, I am a fitness professional. I post videos online. I'm decent strength wise, but I am not. What's a good example of this? You know, I am not Tony Gentilcore. I don't have an 8-pack. I'm not, you know, super super jacked. I don't have a 600-pound deadlift. And for me, like, the thing that I've constantly like looked back on and like really what my goals have been recently is just like I have like a super simple goal. And I was actually talking to Jeff Hemingway, like a mutual friend of ours.
Yeah.
And like we've been kind of going back and forth because like I've been using him as like my accountability buddy, which I stole from Dan John a couple episodes
ago.
Which
he stole from me.
Oh, awesome.
Hey.
Yeah, no, I think, okay. No, I think he mentioned that, so don't worry. I think he gave you perfect credit for it. And I'm positive that he did. So
it would be the first time. That's okay.
Yeah, and this is like very loose. Like, we're not emailing back every day because I literally, you know, said, I know more about this stuff just because of like all the people I talk to. I work at, you know, one of the best gyms in the world and, you know, work with some of the best people. Mm-hmm. So I know what I should be doing, but it's always a case of like, you know, whether it's willpower or whether it is just having, you know, not wanting those abs enough. And there I realized, like, it's not like I don't even like want the abs. I just don't want, I know what I don't want. I don't want jiggle. That's what I've come down to, is I just don't want to have any jiggle. And it doesn't need to be like a 6-pack. It just needs to be a jiggle-free zone on my body, because otherwise it kind of kills my enthusiasm for doing a lot of stuff. You know, when, like going out and, you know, being more social has been one of my big goals for 2015, and I've been kicking ass, like doing a lot more stuff socially, like going out and, you know, seeing people and, you know, not just staying home with my dog and like reading or something like that.
Congrats. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's like one of those things where, and again, this is, we were talking in the other part of the other segment, like, man, like just trying to get so personal on the show, but I think hopefully it helps people. I'm, you know, sticking my neck out there a little bit. But, you know, really, again, it was just kind of having that observation internally, like that's all I was looking for. And that kind of seems to have triggered something more than ever to help me with my goals. And just remembering, like, before I go grab that, you know, have that extra quest bar or something like that. Oh, right. Remember, like you have certain goals for the day and, you know, you've definitely made sure that you hit your protein needs or whatever. So all this is going to do is add to the jiggle. So remember, you want to eliminate the jiggle. And if you can do that, your life will be better. And it's not, let's take another, this is Kevin's segment for a second. So I apologize. But this is when I was,
good.
I was talking with Jeff about this, and it's like, I don't, I'm all for people saying, like, yeah, you should be comfortable in your body. You should be comfortable no matter how you look. And, like, the ESPN body issue just came out, and, like, there's great examples of that. And, like, I was looking at that. Like, people should not be, you know, I forget the what the woman did for her sport, but, like, people.
Oh, the hammer thrower.
Yeah, the hammer thrower. And, like, I'm like, what are you talking about? She's beautiful. Like, oh, my God. Like, she is in amazing shape. But, you know, for me personally, like, when I observe myself, I'm always comparing myself to other fitness professionals and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I can't just be happy with being, you know, the way I am. Like, I need to be jiggle free. Like, I need to, because otherwise I am unhappy with the way I am. I can't be just okay with the way that I look. And I think it's awesome if people can do that, but I just can't. So this is me talking to you and trying to get your insight on that. And I don't know. I don't even know if people need to be completely happy with the way that they are, you know, like maybe that is, it's a good thing to want to continue to be better, but I'm still okay. I just want to be better.
That's an innate human drive. And in self-determination theory, it's called basic psychological needs. The basic psychological need to feel like you're autonomous, you're getting better at something, and it's bringing you closer to people that you care about. Autonomy supportive, competence supportive, and belonging supportive. And what was interesting to me as you were just describing that was you kind of hit all of them in that description of that desire that you have to be the best version of what you believe is the best version of yourself. And that is that is a universal human drive. You want to make choices that are in line with your values, and your values are to be getting better at something. In this case, if I can paraphrase it, you can tell me if I'm wrong. It's leanness. Totally. Or a certain amount of leanness.
Yeah, I got the strength that I want. I'm happy with my strength levels. I don't need a deadlift 600 pounds. I don't need to. I'm not going to barbell bench anything ever again. Really, it's just a case of, you know, wanting to, you know, and it's, you know, again, just being able to not worry about how things fit, not worry about, you know, how I look at a fitness event. And again, people, like I said, I was in Chicago last week. I met a lot of people, and I mean, if you've seen me in person, like, I am in no way an unfit person. But I think the problem that we have, you know, with us as fitness professionals is that we compare ourselves to the 1% of the fitness industry, you know, the people that are posting, you know, shirtless training pics or, you know, things like that. And then we kind of like, oh, why aren't we there? Like, why are, you know, what are they doing, or what makes them able to get there that makes me not able to get to that point? So that's kind of the stuff that I've been playing around with, like, with my own thoughts.
That's interesting. And I have a friend who did something, who was having a similar thought in a different industry that's also very looks driven. And she made one change. I actually just wrote about this in an article for my Fitness Pal, and it might already be up by now. But she realized that she was feeling bad about herself when she was looking at her Instagram feed. So she intentionally unfollowed some people from Instagram and started following other people that she respected a lot with a broader body types. And she started following more athletes. And I don't mean like fitspirational athletes. I mean Olympic lifters.
Right.
And world, you know, strongman competitors and stuff. And people that she was really inspired by for their bravery and for putting themselves out there like that.
Sure.
And for their competence. And when she did that, it had this cascade effect of changing the way that she looked at herself, and then changing the like, she started manipulating the other media around her to set what I would refer to as a new normal. she was thrown off by what she was consuming, like who she was spending time with and comparing herself to. So she changed it. She changed the water that she was living in, and it changed her perspective on herself. And what's funny is she actually ended up working out more and eating more healthy and making small, deliberate changes to her lifestyle that ended up having an impact on her body that was a side effect. Huh. It was just because it started to make sense. And this is directly in line with a lot of stuff, a lot of the interventions for obesity and even things like smoking cessation from self-determination theory, is that working on the expectations first goes a long way to keeping people doing something. So if you can change the expectations of what you are, what's expected of you, of what that external motivation is, that it was expected of you by society, right, it'll actually end up helping you with sticking to your exercise and food goals.
Okay, so this is, again, maybe a little bit of a tangent, but I hear what you're saying, and I'm really curious how much of that is a case of just getting a different stimulus in terms of mm-hmm. motivation, you know, instead of like, mm-hmm. you know, some people will want to follow like the physique athletes and stuff like that because they'll see them and be like, oh yeah, this is what, you know, so-and-so is doing, like this. They're posting a picture of themselves lifting and drinking a protein shake and, oh, that's what I get. Okay, that's just a reminder to me. That's, you know, they're one of my mentors or they're one of my, you know, the people that I look up to. That's what I got to make sure that I'm doing. So it's a good reminder to have them in my feed or something like that. And I think like
but what's it reminding you of? Is it reminding you
like that's what I want. If that's what you're looking for, they're like, oh yeah, that's, I mean, that's why you follow a lot of these people. I get to imagine, like, you know, for men or women, they're following, when they follow like physique athletes, they're doing it because that's like, oh, that's what I'm aspiring to. Like, I'm aspiring to be like that person. And I use their, you know, whether Twitter, you know, following or Instagram following or Facebook or whatever, to continue to have them as a reminder, be like, yeah, that's the destination. I'm going to that destination. So having that reminder in a feed or something like that is going to make sure that I stay on the path to where I want to go. I'm not saying it's rational. I'm not saying it's right. I'm trying to look at both sides and just think of having different kinds of motivation can maybe be beneficial. And sometimes you just need a different kind of motivation to not have it be stale.
The truth of the matter is motivation is multivariate. We do everything we do for a whole bunch of different reasons all at the same time. We work out because it feels good, but we also work out because it's a part of who we are. And we also work out because it's our job sometimes. You know, we work out for all different kinds of reasons. And that's true for literally every human activity. It's lots of different reasons why we do stuff. The danger is in relying, as you point out, and relying solely on one type of motivation, is that we get into a rut of thinking about that thing that can feel controlling. So when people see images of who they're supposed to be, there can be a hit of motivation, like a spike, but it also feels controlling because that might not be the person that you want to be. It's just what society has told you that you should want. And that's true of everyone. Like every single person is impacted by those images and those thoughts. And it can be different. It's not like we all sort of, you know, society wants us all to be one way or things like that. Different subcultures tell us we should be a different, you know, one thing or another. If you can focus on other types of motivation, listen to other reasons why you want to do stuff, it can actually bring you out of a rut faster because you're tapping into the reasons why you want to do stuff that might not be so obvious. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier that a big motivation for you was this new goal of getting out more and socializing more. And this new inspiration that you have for eating better, because you've tied it to a different value than you've thought of normally. Right. And that value is spending time with other people, getting out of the house. And that can be a huge improvement for people. And most of the time, we just get in these ruts where it's like, oh, if I just post enough fitspirational, if I just have enough fitspirational stuff in my Instagram feed, it'll get me off the couch. Mm-hmm. But the reality is we're not, if we don't get exposed to those other, if we don't have the self-awareness to think about the other reasons why we might want something, if it's not forced upon us in some way, which is a great thing that a coach can do, is ask the really open-ended questions that make people think differently about their goals, we might not ever get off the couch. Hmm. That happens for most people. They rely on the usual stuff to get them off the couch or to get them to the gym. And maybe it works for January 2nd and 3rd, but by January 4th, they're back where they started. The guilt and the shame didn't work again. And here they are not doing anything. But if we can help them, ask them questions that are different, make them think differently about why they might want something, far more likely to actually go out and do it.
While we're talking about it, I did start using Instagram at instagram.com/KevinLarrabee if you want to follow me.
And I'm instagram.com/thecoachstevo.
I've been more fascinated. Like I set up an account, not kidding, like 4 years ago, made a post, and then haven't used it until now, until I got like continuing like barrages from, you know, friends and coworkers, like, yeah, you got to, dude, you got to use Instagram. It's like, it's what people are using these days, and it is fun to kind of like go on there and, you know, see what people are up to, because it's a lot easier to post videos and stuff like that. And whether it be The Rock shooting a 15-second clip from his new movie or whatever. We did get some questions from Facebook and things like that. So we'll start trying to get into a couple of those and see where we go. This one is from Omar. How do groups help create a quote new normal for clients, and why is that so damn powerful?
I mean, that's my everything. Like, I did all my graduate work in that, and even wrote a book about it called We Make Communities. I pretty much stopped training people one-on-one when I saw how powerful a new normal could be in a group. And when what I mean by that is, if you get a bunch of people who share a common problem in a common space to talk about that problem, they come up with awesome solutions that I as a coach never would have thought of. If I get 40 people in a room all talking about how to eat more vegetables, they come up with a lot of awesome ways to eat vegetables. And I look like the genius for having brought everyone together, but that's a side effect. The power of the new normal is a part of health behavior change theory called the subjective norm. And that's, if you see a bunch of people doing something in a different way than you ever have before, you're more likely to consider doing it that way. That's really hard in a one-on-one setting with a coach, just because a lot of people think of coaches as some sort of bastions of righteousness. Like, we figured this all out and we're somehow different than they are because we figured it out. But if you get a bunch of people together with their peers, they're far more likely to see themselves in that peer group than necessarily would identify with the coach. So getting people together in a group to talk about their problems, to talk about the ways they're integrating exercise into their life, the way they're eating, everything just happens faster. Josh Hillis, when we started working with him, teaching him how to do what he was doing one-on-one with groups, he said that the thing that was the hardest for him was the months that it took for people to realize that they were normal. And then as soon as he put people in groups, it took about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it made everything, it sped everything up by months and it happened instantaneously just by putting people together in a group.
Crazy. All right. So we have a couple of different people that could be listening to this. We have personal trainers. We have people that are mm-hmm. just like fitness enthusiasts. I guess maybe those are the big two populations. But if there's someone like listening to this who is not like a trainer or a coach or anything like that, what's the best way for people to start these communities, like at the gym that they're going to, or like how to find like local communities and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, you're doing it in one way with Jeff Hemingway, my patented accountability buddy idea, which I stole from South Park. But just finding another person to talk to doesn't have to be like a workout buddy. It's just a person to check in with, be like, hey, here's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be every day. It can be once a week or whatever. But just someone that you talk to about health and fitness, about your goals, about the process of meeting those goals is so valuable. Another way would be to find an online community. Like, it doesn't have to be in person. It doesn't have to be someone that you know in real life. If that's scary, you can find an anonymous online community. Most people get this need met with Facebook. If you're just trying to find a community where that's possible. And then another option, if you want even more focus and even more dedicated time with an expert, would be to find a coach. So find a coach who's got a community of people who think like you, or whose community that you want to think like, if it even goes that far. So finding a coach who's got a community, and there's a bunch of coaches online who are taking Habitree's advice from my book, We Make Communities, and making these common spaces where people can talk about this stuff for free. Like, that's a huge value. If you just want other people to be accountable to and to help you out, find a free online community run by a coach.
I apologize. I forgot who asked these questions, but how do you guide clients to their true values? I think we talked about this a little bit on the first part, but just tips mm-hmm. on digging deep to figuring out, you know, maybe exactly what their real values are.
My favorite way to do this that I default to, although they're I'll use a bunch, is instead of asking people what they want, because general population clients do not know what they want, knowing what you want is actually a very high skill that I think only, as Dan John points out, only athletes know. Instead of asking people what they want, I ask who the best version of themselves is, and I ask them to describe that person. So instead of what, I ask who. Who's the kind of person that you want to be? And and I listen for the adjectives they use to describe that person. It's usually things like disciplined, reasonable, living a life of integrity. And I then ask that person, what does the person that you want to be do every single day? What do they do every day? And we just start picking the things that they think that the best version of themselves would do every day. And we start trying to make them habits.
What do you hear a lot? What do people give you a lot for that?
Disciplined. That's the main one. I think that's because just about every Gen Pop client who's coming to a personal trainer is not coming to us for advice. They're coming to us to outsource their willpower right. And to outsource their motivation. So when I ask that question, discipline comes up a whole bunch. Dedicated, variations on those words. And integrity comes up a lot. Because people want, and this happens a lot too. A lot of Gen Pop that I've worked with, and it's skewed a little bit. I should tell people my target population that I've worked with the most is women between the ages of 45 and 90. Is they want to be an example, at least in the people that I've worked with, but I've seen it outside of this population too. They want to be an example to others, like their children, or other people in their life that inspire them. They want to live up to those values. So inspired comes up a lot. wanted to be a good example, things like that.
Gotcha. Sorry, I have to mute myself while the motorcycles go by my house. You probably already heard a couple of those. All right, let's go on to the last couple ones that we got. You know, once people have those values, how do you link their habits to their values? So I guess, how do you, again, build the road?
Like I said, I just ask the people what the best version of themselves does every day. Mm-hmm. And then we go from there. And this is all kind of specific to working with people one-on-one. Like, this is what I would do for that. But in a group setting, I get people to ask each other those questions. That's really the only difference. And I start conversations about this stuff and then let things happen. And even when we're all working as a group on a specific habit, I'm constantly asking them what they think about that habit, how it's integrating into their life. And I want them to know that these habits aren't the secret sauce. Like, this is not the only way to get to where they want to be. And I'm constantly encouraging their autonomy, constantly encouraging them to come up with different ways to get the same process goal. Mm-hmm. So, and in fact, later on, like after a group's been working together for a while, I let them come up with the habits. But it's all it's generated by the group and no longer generated by me. It's just sort of guided me. And yeah, just giving them as much autonomy as possible and finding those habits and finding the way that they interpret those habits into their daily life. For example, if it's eating more vegetables every day, I give them a lot of leeway on what I mean by eating more, I usually say colorful vegetables, eating more colorful vegetables every day. Mm-hmm. And let them come up with different ways to do that. So if it's someone hates broccoli, I'm not going to make them eat broccoli. That would just be terrible. I'm not going to say you can only eat these kinds of things. If one person is buying pre-made vegetable packs at Trader, like pre-chopped vegetables at Trader Joe's, mm-hmm. I think that's rad. If another person is going to the farmer's market and spending 2 hours at the farmer's market every day buying groceries, hey, whatever way they think is best for them to meet that process goal of eating more vegetables every day, I'm going to let them do that. That's an autonomy supportive environment.
Okay, so we got like 5-ish more minutes. So I'm curious. I mean, obviously, you have some stuff. Actually, let's talk about this right now. So, I mean, you put together a book. So it's mm-hmm. it's going to be something that's going to be like more of a one-stop shop for people to check out. So let's talk about, what is in that, who is it for, and how can people get it?
The book is We Make Communities, and it's available at habitree.com/book, or you can just go to habitree.com and click on the link book. And it's all about creating intentional communities. It's specifically for coaches, for anyone who's got a community or a population that they want to inspire to change. It's written to them, and it's a how-to guide on how to create an intentional community for change. And it's part of what we do at Habitree, which is create those intentional communities. Mm-hmm. The book is a great starting point, but we also have an entire habit-based change system that we've been working on for years now. Started out as my grad school work, and then I started teaching it to other coaches. And then it just became this big open-source tutorial on how to help people change their behavior. We've been working on it for years, and we recently turned it into a platform for coaches who just want the simplest, easiest way to make a community and to get them to start changing their behaviors one habit at a time. We made an iPhone app. We have an iPhone app that you can go to habitree.com and learn all about. And it allows it's the simplest way to create the conditions in which you're connecting with your clients in a group and helping them change their behavior. Mm-hmm. Super simple, and you can check that out at habitree.com. And we're really proud of it. It represents a lot of work and a lot of learning as a community of coaches what is the best flexible way to help a coach change any behavior that they want to inspire their clients to change.
And let's just be real. It's $19. So like really,
yeah, it's 19.
If you, yeah, can't, it's get, 19, if you can't get $19 worth out of that, you're nuts. So I got to, yeah. I was lucky enough to get a preview copy to take a look at. And
yeah, the book is $19. It's super easy. The platform is $19 per client per month. And most of the people who are using it are charging $147 a month to their clients to use it. So the value is pretty insane for both of those products.
Yeah, I should have done like not 99, not 89, not 79, not even 49. Sorry. So
yeah,
in every picture I've ever seen you in, you're holding coffee. What's up with that?
That's a great point. Well, the secret is that whenever I do workshops and stuff,
yeah,
I like to have a coffee mug to keep me from wildly gesturing.
Okay.
And keeps you the balanced. Other secret is, yeah, it keeps me balanced. And the other secret is that I usually put a little bit of whiskey in the coffee.
Do you really?
That's, yeah, absolutely.
Does that help loosen things up a little bit?
It does. So I have ADHD, and one of the great ways that I have learned to help me stay focused during a 3-hour workshop is just a little bit of whiskey in the coffee to give me the focus that I get from the coffee, but also keep the energy up. So yeah,
so that's like a half and half.
No, not even close to half and half. More like 90-10%.
Awesome.
But yeah, there's whiskey in that cup. In fact, my girlfriend bought me a mug that says, "This might be whiskey." So that is a Coach Steve-O top tip that I don't actually recommend for anyone.
What? From these events. Now, I'm curious. Like, from these events, what are the biggest, or at least from the summits that you've put together?
Yep.
Any like big aha moments out of those for you from the discussions that have come out of those?
Oh man.
Anything that
so
like
many.
Comes to the, yeah, but anything that like, it's like comes to the top of your head, because like,
yeah,
you know, I mentioned before, like, you know, at these summits, you've had some of like, you know, the best, you know, people in our field there too. So just getting all those minds together in one room.
I think the insights that we get from those are amazing. From people like Georgie Fear and Josh Hillis and the amazing behavior change experts that we've had, those are cool. But my favorite insights come from people who are coming to these events who have no idea what to expect, and the insights that they bring from working with their clients. Mm-hmm. Because I'm lucky. I get to talk to those super coaches every day. But when I talk to coaches who are really in the trenches and working with people and have a great intuitive sense of what it takes to help people change their lives, the insights we get out of those are the best. And my favorite takeaway was actually from the first Motivate Summit. And I still have the post-it note, because at the end of the day at a Motivate Summit, we all take a post-it note and write what we learned that day. And my favorite post-it note that I keep says, "I learned that there's hope for me and hope for this industry." Hmm. And I actually keep that over my desk. That was when I realized that we had created something special and that we had created a space for people to talk about a set of problems that wasn't being talked about anywhere else in this industry, was how do we help people the other 167 hours, and how do we help people actually change their lives?
Well, I think that's a good place to cap things off, and it is habitry.com, and you can just click on that book tab at the top. I do not get a penny for any of these books that get sold, but I can highly recommend it for people that, whether you're in the industry or, you know, you are just looking to put together your own community, and whether it's a community of 2 or 20 or 200, it seems to be kind of the, you know, the next kind of piece of the puzzle that we're putting, you know, together to figuring out this whole thing for accountability and making sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. So it's really great stuff.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, so anything else? I mean, I know you have another summit coming up in Salt Lake City, September 26th to 27th.
We hope so. It's probably going to be Salt Lake. We might have to. We might end up having to move it, but those will be the dates. Yeah, and we'll have a bunch more summits in next year, probably even more than we had this year, in lots more places. And yeah, the thing we're most excited about right now is this iPhone app to help coaches create these communities. That's put a lot of work into it, and it's really helping. We're dumbfounded by the results that we're getting with it. We've had 88% of people using of clients on the app are using it every single day to work with their coaches. So it's really cool.
Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet stuff. I'm very would never have thought all those years ago that I met you at what was it? Must have been it was either at MBSC or at a Perform Better Summit. I always forget what it was.
No, it was at MBSC.
Dan Jones thing.
Yep. Yep, that was the first day I met you. It was the first day I met Dan John. Yeah, it was a big day, man. Big day.
That's what it's all about, the big days that set us off on the courses in our lives. But, yeah, all right, so you guys know where to go. It's habittree.com. Also, don't forget to check out the FitCast on iTunes. I really appreciate it if you submit a review on there, if you subscribe through there. If you enjoy the show and you want to help support it, you can go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/thefitcast, and you can support the show starting at just $1 per episode. That's a whole $4 per month, and I know it's not nothing, so I appreciate everyone that is doing that right now on Patreon. I'm looking at our list, and just real quick, thank you to Lauren B, Oliver B, Nicholas Z, Angelique M, Ann Q, Ryan K, who have just started up, and this is going to be the very first episode that they're going to be supporting. But for everyone that is supporting the show through Patreon.com, I really appreciate it. We have 239 people that are supporting the show through there, so thank you so much. And I think that is it. And the next episode that you're going to hear, I believe, is going to be Max Shank, who's going to be coming back on. And then I think it's Army Leggy or Army Leg?
It's Army Leg.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He actually came to the first Motivate Summit. That's how I learned how to pronounce his name.
I was on a panel with him like earlier this year, and I always forget because people mispronounce his name. But yeah, with him, we're going to be talking about more motivational stuff, adherence, cool things like that. So, Steve-O, thank you so much for coming back on the show, and I guess I will see you soon at one of these events coming up.
Yeah, you'll see me in Long Beach if you're coming to Long Beach.
Of course I am. I will be in, especially if you're listening to this and you're going to be in Long Beach, make sure to come up and say hi to both of us, and I'll be at the CFSC, Certified Functional Strength Coach booth, and we're actually doing a sold-out certification event on that Thursday beforehand. So I'll even be there on Thursday if you're coming for any pre-con stuff. But yeah, Long Beach.
And I'll be the guy that's usually overdressed wearing a blazer. I'm easy to spot.
Blazer and a coffee with some alcohol.
With whiskey in it. Yep. That's how we roll.
See you then. Time for having fun. I'm gonna party hard until the sun comes up. The music feels so good. Dancing is what I love.